Good afternoon and welcome to Sean Maguire Live on People's Internet Radio. This is my midday show. It is Tuesday. It is 12 o'clock, allegedly here. Don't know what time it is around where you are, but we're going to start off with a fantastic track by Sham69, Borstal Breakout. And then I'm going to have Ollie Damagard joining me. I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. This is Sham69 and Borstal Breakout. Welcome back to my midday show. This is Sean Maguire live on People's Internet Radio. That's www.peoplesinternetradio.com, where we are seeking solutions. And I have a fantastic guest lined up. And I made a mistake. I was supposed to be advertising the fact that Ollie Damagard was coming on with me today, and I didn't put it in my diary because he is also joining me a little bit later on, and we'll talk about that. Another out of the bag, not this week coming, but the following week, and we'll talk about that when I'm chatting to Ollie in a bit. But first of all, I've got a couple of announcements to make about other shows on People's Internet Radio. There is a special ninja type show tonight at 6 p.m. GMT, Irish time I'd rather call it. It's a special Tuesday evening, 6 p.m. GMT on People's Internet Radio's Cancel the Cabal show with host Stephen Roberts, who's usually on very late at night, midnight usually he starts, but this is at 6 p.m. tonight. Stephen Roberts will be having the guests from the Cork News's from the Cork News newspaper, Lorcan McMurris and Fintan Cullen. Lorcan, Fintan and Stephen will speak on the upcoming May the 22nd referendum vote on marriage equality. And the article from the Cork News Agency from the 17th of April 2015 concerning head of the Bible Baptist Church of Ballincollig, County Cork, Pastor Craig Ledbetter, about the marriage equality referendum. So don't miss that. 6 o'clock tonight, super big bad man Stephen Roberts on his own show, Cancel the Cabal. A different time, different night even. Looking forward to that. Now, there is another show coming up very soon on the 29th. And it's Lee, Unique Lee, his Dark Side of the Room on the 29th. He has Anthony Patch, and Anthony Patch has got his subject matter is CERN primarily, but lots of occult wisdom, That he's getting information from others regarding Saturn's connection to it all. And then obviously you've got Unique Lee's unique take on things as well. That should be a fantastic show coming up. Really, really looking forward to that. And I might as well, while I'm pushing two other people's shows, this Wednesday, that would be tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, Out of the Bag brings a fantastic show as well. Lisa Shunkaha Wakantanka. Yes, that's a mouthful. Lisa Phillips, her real name is. But anyway, Lisa Shunkaha Wakantanka, radio host who was on my afternoon show last week. She is going to be on my Out of the Bag tomorrow for the first hour. Then we're going to have the great Scott Tips from the NHF coming on from 10 to 11pm. Scott used to have a show before mine on People's Internet Radio. And then the last hour I will be joined by Gordon Bowden and John Patterson. And if you've been keeping up with all that in the past, you will know that that's going to be an incredible hour as well. So that's my Out of the Bag. Tomorrow night is going to be a packed and wonderful show, I hope. But right now, I'm going to say hello and welcome back to People's Internet Radio to Ollie Damagard. Ollie, are you with me? Oh, that's very, very low, Ollie.
I know.
Oh.
Okay,
I've actually put you on absolutely full. If I could put a track on, Ollie, because there's no way we could have a conversation, I can hardly hear you at all. If I put a track on, and maybe if you can go into your Skype microphone settings and change it, maybe? Or test another microphone, indeed. I'll pop a track on, and then maybe you can just call me back, and we'll interrupt the track even if you get it sorted. Okay, Ollie?
Yep.
Great stuff. Thanks a lot. So, I was hoping to get Ollie Damagard, obviously, on, and instead I'm going to have to play another track. So, let's see. The Creative Rebellion was the name. Oh, I'm getting phone back straight away. So, let's see if Ollie is back straight away. Ollie?
Yep.
Hello, Ollie.
Hello.
Can hear you a little bit better, Ollie. Well, the volume is much better. I'm just hoping the connection and the sound is okay for everybody. So maybe I'll just put a word. Can people hear myself and Ollie okay in the chat room? Ollie, welcome back to People's Internet Radio.
Thank you so much. And I'm sorry about this technical thing. I have no idea what's happening, but it's often when I'm going to talk about sensitive things that these technical issues occur.
Well, let's not add a conspiracy theory to a conspiracy theory. Ollie, maybe we're just having a few tech probs and let's hope it's just that.
Oh, sure.
And we'll get it sorted. But welcome to People's Internet Radio and my afternoon show. And I really want to hear what you have to say because I think you have some breaking information, or rather information that not many people out there would know of or even would be talking about.
It's, I've been on your show before talking about the so-called Operation 40, which was an ultra-secret hit team, top assassins that was put together in the late 50s, early 1960s, under the supervision of Vice President Richard Nixon. He was given a task from people in the CIA to recruit and get together a group of the extremely skilled assassins that could be used globally to take out any type of, foreign presidents or enemies or double agents or whatever. They were creating a tool to do that. So Richard Nixon, together with some people from the CIA, veterans from the CIA, like David F.D. Phillips, Ted Shackley and E. Howard Hunt, these are very famous for people who know about the CIA and its history. They got together and brought in George Herbert Walker Bush, that's George Bush Sr. as well, who became responsible for financing this whole thing. Not that he paid himself, but he funneled the funds into this team of assassins. And then they went down to Miami and they started recruiting mostly exiled Cubans there, which were later trained in Louisiana, north of the Lake Pontchartrain. They were also trained in the Everglades in Florida and in Guatemala, where they were trained in everything from jungle warfare to explosives, poisons, whatever could kill a person, they were trained in it. And to start with this group, even though it was called Operation 40 or Group 40. It consisted of some 80 people, but only 20 of them were assassins. The other people were there to be used as infiltrators to gather information behind enemy lines to whatever, you know, to also to pressure foreign presidents and so on by blackmail and so on. And if they did not give up and give in, then they would set in the real hit team. And I focused very much on this group because I've been able to connect this small group of assassins to so, so many of the major assassinations, mm-hmm. like the JFK assassination, where many of the shooters and spotters were directly part of Operation 40. They were also part of the Robert Kennedy assassination, the killing of Che Guevara, the killing of John Lennon, the killing of and overtake of Salvador Allende in Chile. They also blew up one of Allende's supporters in Washington, D.C., Orlando Letier, and so on. There were also people actually part of taking out Olof Palme in Sweden in 1986 that was connected to this group. Okay. So, but now... I know that I spoke about this group on your show before, but I've come up with some new things that I think that not a lot of people are aware of.
Okay, so what you're telling us now is the Operation 40 is obviously got a big backup team and a lot of cover and a lot of funding from various situations and people as well.
Big time, big time, because this group has especially followed George Bush Sr. through his whole career. They changed the name and constellations over the decades, but they've been very, very central in many of the major political events in modern history. So this is why I think it's so important to get the information out there.
Absolutely. So you've got some new breaking information, if you like, or information that we wouldn't have known that Operation 40 would have been involved in.
At least I haven't been aware of it. And I mean, I've been digging into this for some 30 years, so for me it's new. One of the people that were in this group were a man by the name of Frank Fiorini, or he later changed his name to Frank Sturgis. He was one of the shooters in Dealey Plaza. He was also one of the burglars in the Watergate burglary, or one of the so-called plumbers. The reason for this whole thing in Watergate was to try and cover up the tracks leading back to the killing of JFK. Nixon was getting very freaked out because more and more information was leaking out. So he sent this group to try and get rid of some evidence. But this Frank Sturgis has been, just like many of the other members, extremely active all the way until he died in 93. And one of the things was, what I recently found out was that he was actually involved in the assassination of the Portuguese Prime Minister and Minister of Defense in 1980 as well. This is something I do not think that is commonly known.
Okay, so how would the mainstream media have portrayed, I suppose, the passing of the Portuguese minister?
Well, the thing was that he was together with his defense minister in a plane. It was on December 4th, 1980. And it was just before the election, and it seems like the target for this hit was actually not the Prime Minister, but the Minister of Defense. The Prime Minister, his name was Francisco de Sá Carneiro, and the Defense Minister was Avelino Amaro da Costa. But they were just about to get into election, and the defense minister had gathered a lot of information about illegal arms trafficking connected directly to the Iran-Contras, the same people that were involved there, which were also connected to Operation 40. We're talking Oliver North and Felix Rodriguez, Chip Tatum, many of these, Barry Seal, many of these people. And the defense minister had with him a briefcase of very, very important papers that was going to reveal the whole illegal arms trading. And he was on his way, or they said that he was going to the UN and expose this whole thing. So before this happened, there was a bomb placed on this small little Cessna, and when the plane took off, it exploded right after takeoff, exploded, started burning and came down. So both the Prime Minister, his wife, the Defense Minister and his partner, and also two pilots, and I think there was a man on the ground as well that was killed from debris from the crash and so on.
Okay, so this was a planned assassination, really, of the Defense Minister, but surplus to requirements, the Prime Minister was taken out as well.
It was like the Prime Minister changed his travel plans just half an hour or so before this trip and decided to go in this plane. So I'm not sure, but it seems like he was maybe very, very unlucky. But I really think that the target for was the Defense Minister, not the Prime Minister.
Sure, who was obviously going to open up a big can of worms, and it would obviously point the finger at various people and bring them down, wouldn't it?
Yep. And some of these people that were involved and knew very well about this thing was Henry Kissinger was one of them. He was in Lisbon informing different people about this thing long before it happened. But it's also very important to understand the time when this happened. It was December 4th, 1980.
Okay.
That is just 6 days before the hit on John Lennon. It was also right after that was carried out by a member of Operation 40. I'm not saying that these are directly connected. I'm just saying that this group was extremely active during these years and months.
Right, they were certainly going for it. I mean, I was told that, and obviously I'm not too sure, but John Lennon was looking over the Atlantic, if you like, at the UK punk explosion, and really wanted to sort of get back on board with his, spreading the word and trying to make people a little bit more aware about what was going on the planet. And because he did want to, his first assassination, as you said, and other people have said as well, was possibly being taken out by Yoko Ono. In other words, becoming a sort of a hairy hippie who people wouldn't listen to and the mainstream media could easily ridicule. So that was his first a character assassination. But then when he actually was saying, right, I'm above that now and I'm stepping out and I might go over and join this punk explosion, that's when he was taken out completely. Because they thought he might have an effect on, I suppose, civil unrest, etc., in the UK.
There are many theories around why he was taken out, because there's so much controversy around the Beatles as a group and the background also, possibly with a fake Paul McCartney and this whole thing with the Tavistock Institute behind him. And so it's a very tricky one to know why he was taken out, but he was... just about to do his big comeback after many years, and he was planning a big peace tour. And one of the problems, you know, with the people like JFK or Bob Marley, John Lennon, Lady Di, and so on, is their popularity. Mm. When you come to a level like that, you become a danger, because if you say, let's go for peace instead of war, then millions of people will listen and they will follow. So the military-industrial complex and the whole backing behind this brutal, brutal war machine are very, very afraid of these type of people. And that is why many of these beautiful characters have been eliminated as well, I think.
Right.
The popularity being one of them.
Yeah, because people are listening to them, and people are... Well, because they're telling the truth, you know, through poetry, through art, through music. I mean, people, you know, want to put their word across. And basically it's that we're not at all happy with what's going on. And how can we possibly live under this psychopathic regime that seems to be going globally with wars, creation, all through greed and, well, it's pure evil, isn't it, Ollie?
Well, if there is evil, then that is it. But the guy who actually shot John Lennon, I mean, you got the official story that it was Mark Chapman. Mm-hmm. But what actually happened this night was, if you look at the crime scene from above, you had Mark Chapman was standing to the right. Yoko Ono and John had just come home from the studio. They came in a limo. They left the car, and Yoko was like 5-6 meters ahead of John when they started entering the building. When John was halfway, he had passed Mark Chapman with quite a few meters, when suddenly several shots were fired. But when you look at the autopsy report and the damages and the wounds and so on, all shots hitting John Lennon came straight from the left. And Mark Chapman, the one that is claimed to have done it, was behind him to the right quite a few meters. So it doesn't make sense at all. So, but when you look at the crime scene and you see who was standing to the left when these shots were fired, well, this particular night there was a doorman, and a nice looking gentleman in his early 70s, I think, glasses, a bit bald, and he disappears very early on into the misty fog of history. He just disappears under the title of doorman. But I managed to track him down, and his real identity was actually José Perdomo. And for more than 10 years, he was one of the highest ranking officers in Operation 40.
Wow. So he was no doorman, Ollie.
He was no doorman at all. He was there as an assassin to take out this guy. That was it. And then he disappeared. And he was also, for many years, working very closely together with Frank Sturgis, the guy that we just spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the plane that went down with the Minister of Defense, did you say Portugal?
Yeah, Portugal.
Yeah, yeah, and the Prime Minister. Who replaced them? I mean, would they? Because I mean, when these assassinations take place, it does seem to be that they do have somebody to step in. I suppose as a New World Order puppet to take the position of who they've taken out.
True, true, and some of the other candidates there were two of them that were generals, and the whole cover up started right away. I mean, it was so obvious for people looking into this so-called accident that something was very wrong.
Yes.
But it was just shut down again and again and again. And I think it was not until 2004, I think it was the 8th investigation, official investigation, that finally admitted, yes, there was an explosion. Yes, there was sabotage. Yes. And that was after years and years after at least one of the people that had constructed the bomb had stepped forward and told the whole story, but it was just shut down, you know, all the time. But here we are again. It's the same thing every time when you got the same power elite behind them, you know. And this in this instance, for instance, one of the characters behind this was a man called Frank Carlucci. Maybe some people know him from the Carlyle Group. He was an ambassador in Lisbon up until a few years before this, and then he went straight from there and became the deputy director of the CIA. So that tells you a lot as well. So it was him, it was Dick, William Casey from the CIA as well, Oliver North was there, Henry Kissinger, you had, like I said, Frank Sturgis, but George Bush Sr. was also involved. Donald Gregg from the CIA, there were several military people also, and also different enterprises like Blackwater, the Carlyle Group, the Halliburton, Black Eagle Enterprise, among others and so on. So we're back to the same companies and financial structure that was behind the whole Iran-Contra scandal, the whole mayhem behind many of these so-called terror acts like 9/11 and so on. And it's just the same tiny little group that keeps popping up everywhere.
Okay, so is Operation, just to clarify it really for me again, is Operation 40 coming out of America? Is it just CIA run? Is it a sort of a, if you like, a spreading glove around the globe, and they could be anywhere, they could be in any country?
It started with Operation 40. They call Operation 40 the grandmother of operations.
Okay.
That was like the in the early 60s. Then that has become almost like a template for how to create groups of assassins. You know, they were armed on location. There were several photographers filming the JFK hit. photographers. These films have never been officially shown, but I know from inside sources that they are being used as the training material for assassins during their education on how to carry out a perfect assassination. And many of these core members from this group, like I say, they changed the Operation 40, changed names many, many times, and became more and more into, you know, like updated new groups, new members, new orders. But these key people have been active all the way up until more or less now. You know, they're in their 70s, 80s, but they're still active. It's absolutely incredible.
It is absolutely incredible. Ollie, you're getting involved with other things other than the conspiracies of I suppose, assassinations and all the rest of it. When I say conspiracies, you're actually telling us your research and the facts of it. So you're giving us information that's I suppose, opening up what actually happened rather than what we're told by the mainstream media. But you're also getting involved with other things, and maybe we can mention that now, because you're going to be coming on Out of the Bag in 2 weeks' time on the 27th of May. Is there more that you want to say about the Portugal incident to link it with anything else, or shall we talk about the Full Circle project?
Yeah, let's move on. It's like the only reason I think I focus so much on exposing these things, yes, is to make a better world for all of us. You know, it's like all of this dark crap. I would love to let it go and just get on with life, but it's by exposing all of this, these invisible chains that are holding us, that because so few people understand the control we are under.
Yeah.
So my whole intention with this is to lift the world to a beautiful new level, and this is where this Full Circle project comes in.
Yeah, it's just also, well, we'll move on to the Full Circle, but I just really, prompted me to say something else about the assassinations, really. I mean, they are organized, you know, about the Group of 40 and all the rest of it, but have we got any solutions? Exposing them is one thing. How do we stop them? How do we take the power away from these people? Is it by exposing them and hoping that some non-corporate entity of police or peacekeepers on this planet are going to come and arrest them or stop them?
Sean, your guess is as good as mine. I'm doing my best to do my part. I don't know. I don't have a clear solution, but I know that the power of the truth is incredible, and the more people who wakes up and starts seeing what is actually going on, the more we take our power back. Because this group that we're talking about behind the New World Order, they're not that many, you know, they're in the thousands, and we're in the billions. So really, this shouldn't be a problem at all. It should be more of a joke.
No, sorry.
It's by pulling away the curtain, showing who they really are. Just like in The Wizard of Oz, when this little girl, Dorothy, pulls away the curtain and discovers that there's not this massive, incredibly powerful person, but a tiny little old guy with a big microphone and a massive amplifier. You know, this is the thing. Most of these are old guys. Yeah. We say, ooh, they're so powerful. Ooh, they're so scary. I say not.
Yes,
you know, they agree. Say they have so advanced weapons. They have such advanced technology, so advanced surveillance, all of these things. Yes, but they do not know anything about this. They cannot handle this kind of technology. I mean, most of them, I bet you, if you give them a laptop and say, listen, I've got a virus, can you please get rid of it? These old guys wouldn't know what to do with it.
Okay.
Because we are helping them. Mm. We, the normal people, are working for them, helping them.
So it's a case of getting rid of those thousand, if you like, and putting into place people who would only use military might, for example, if there was some sort of attack on them. I always said to myself that, like, if you are in the military, whether it's the army, the navy, the royal, you know, the air force, whatever, okay, if you were, or even the secret services, do those individuals want war? Surely a human being whether he's wearing a uniform or not, how much program he's had or not, he or she should be able to say the answer to that is no, I do not want war. I'm here in case there is one. I'm here make sure there isn't going to be a war rather than creating them. And what we've got is these psychopath, power-hungry corporate entities of, who know that they can make billions, trillions and just be greedy, more powerful if they have this endless string of wars that they can create, and it doesn't really matter who they kill on the way. They don't really care, do they?
No, not at all. But so much of this is based on that they get away with their agenda because we are being threatened. We think we're being threatened. But the more you look into so-called terrorism and all of these things like 9/11 or Oklahoma City or, you name it, you will find out that it's fake terrorism. You know, all these mass shooting, staged events, false flag operations, again and again and again. I don't know how many of these I've dug so deep into, and every single time I come back to the same conclusion. This is a staged event, or it's an event that is carried out by mercenaries or people trained by the same elite few.
It is incredible. It's like life's a stage and they're acting it out to create fear and the need, I suppose, for the military to be and able to do what they're doing.
Exactly, because if we, the normal person in the street, understood that we are not being threatened from anywhere except from this group, we are not under attack. The world is not filled with crazy Muslims or ISIS or crazy warriors that just want to chop the head of people. Absolutely not. It is a staged theater in front of our eyes to get us in fear mode so that they can control us. So I would say one of the solutions to this thing is to let go of fear. By exposing the real truth, understanding what's going on, you will be able to let go of fear. And the more fearless you are, the more difficult it is for them to control you. So I very much work on trying to get people back in balance, back in harmony, to take their power back and not get tricked by these con artists, because that's what they are. You know, they're like puppet masters behind dark curtains of secrecy.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's back to the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy ripping off the curtain and
yep.
Some old geezer there. I remember when Henry Kissinger was here in Ireland, I was in a state of shock really, because the Spanish had a warrant for his arrest that was given to, I think, the Irish police. Now I might be wrong there, to basically have him arrested and deported to Spain to stand trial for war crimes. And instead, An Garda Síochána decided in their corporate wisdom to protect him and make sure he was safely looked after and treated like royalty while he was here.
And this is where groups like the Bilderberg Group, Council on Foreign Relations, these type of groups, Freemasonry Network, that is where you get the explanation to how things like that could happen. Because really, he should have been arrested right when he entered the country, boom, but
absolutely,
he did not.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? And if the people in power in Ireland or wherever it is do not act the way they should, please let that inform you about what's going on and question their loyalty. What agenda are they serving? Just because you think you've elected them, I'm sorry, you're in for a surprise. Many of them are in the pockets of this elite few. They call themselves the elite, I call them the minority.
Yes,
there's so few.
I think you're right. And I mean, look, the Tories have just got in. I left England because of the Tory party and knowing damn well that the whole thing was rigged and fake and all the rest of it. And I give up, you know, politics was what I was into. I thought people should use their vote. I saw the degradation of changing constituency boundary lines. I thought that was what the cheating was. I didn't actually know that it didn't matter what people voted. They were going to do what they did anyway. And then I worked for a company. Yeah, I worked for a company.
Oh,
called,
sorry,
Ali. I worked for a company called Hewlett Packard, a computer company, American company. And they basically would decide on things, make the decision knowing down the line they were going to implement those decisions, and then they would allow all the workers in their factories and in their plants around England to vote on it. And whether the vote was A or nay, they would still implement and tell everybody, you chose this. Thank you very much for choosing it.
I tell you, like I said, I spent 30 years of my life digging into these things, but I've never, ever voted. Because on such an early stage, I just thought, oh my God, this is just so rigged. It's so, and it's just been more and more. These powers have been working very, very hard on centralizing the power to fewer and fewer and fewer. But I love the thing that you said before about the normal person in the street. I saw that there was some, they had made an investigation into what people really wanted to, and the question about war and these things came up. The thing was that I think it was 99% of the population globally, of all of these thousand people they checked, all of them wanted more or less the exact same thing, which was peace, harmony, you know, to be able to look after your family, get an education, have a job, friends, a party from time to time, nice holiday, these times, to be happier and peaceful. And that was what more or less, I think it was 99% wanted. Or 90% of what they wanted was that. And then the conflicts were so few. You know, I think it was like 5% of things that people argued about. The rest, everybody agreed on.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's
I think that's quite interesting.
Isn't it just? Listen, Ollie, should we take a wee break and have a tune? And then when we come back, we might talk about the full Circle project, and you might remind me. I know I spoke to Max about it quite a while ago, and I have on my links page on my webpage, which is outofthebagradio.weebly.com. I have the full Circle project on there, but it was in its infancy, if you like, and I didn't really know that much more had happened or been added to it or any more work had been done. But it sounds like some amazing things are going on, and I'd love to hear a little bit about it prior to our Out of the Bag in 2 weeks' time. So we'll take a wee break. Ollie, is that okay? And we'll be back.
Sounds great to me.
Fantastic. We'll be back after this. This is, well, it's just right, isn't it? I Just Can't Be Happy Today by The Damned.
Burning the books, the churches in ruins, the priests.